Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Well, hello and welcome to another exciting and special episode of Veterans Connect Radio. Here on the Business Radio X network, as always, we're broadcasting live from the Regis Executive Suites here in sensational Sandy Springs, Georgia. You know, my hometown, Brandon, this is where I grew up in Sandy Springs.
It is.
That's right. And right here on the Business Radio X network, which has been our headquarters for the last 8 years in this building. Wow. Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
I know.
Eight years in here, huh?
8 years, that's right.
Time to paint the walls.
We were thinking about it. A little upgrade here for sure. So Veterans Connect Radio, episode 19. I'm Ryan Redhawk. That's Brandon Skolnick. Make sure you're connected with us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at VetConnectRadio. We like to use the hashtag VetsConnect because that's what we do. We connect veterans in studio and on the air.
Mm-hmm. And resources.
That's right. We want those veterans here in Atlanta to know about the resources available to them, especially in if you're going for a corporate track or if you're in entrepreneurship. You know, there's a lot of people out there working very hard to welcome veterans into the workforce. We're working very hard here at Veterans Connect Radio to welcome veterans into entrepreneurship.
That's right.
And because we believe in the future is entrepreneurship. There'll be more and more 1099 employees in the next 10, 20 years, and there will be W-2s.
Well, there you go.
So, it's all
exciting
right.
Times.
There's my thoughts for the morning. So, how was your weekend there?
It was good. I went to a wedding. I went to a partner of mine's wedding. He's a veteran. So, you know, he acted like a veteran. Mm-hmm. But it was a very good time. It was a very good time.
Well, good.
At the Georgia Country Club of the South.
Club. Oh, yeah. Off Old Alabama Road and Johns Creek there. Very nice.
Yeah, it was a very beautiful wedding.
Well, let's remind our listeners about our event coming up out at Sharpshooters USA December 2nd. It's going to be Fire Your Guns.
Fire Your Guns is the name of the show or the event.
Yep.
Make sure you guys are there.
It's free.
It is free. And we want to be big, big shout out to Keith.
That's right. Keith Kennedy, he's the marketing director out there at Sharpshooters USA.
he's helping putting it on.
That's right. Go stop by and say hello. Say Brandon and Red Hawk sent you over there or visit their website at sharpshootersusa.com. Located there in Roswell and Alpharetta Highway. 24 lanes on three divided ranges with 8 lanes in each, 24 yards in length. And you can shoot a 50 BMG in there.
Oh, really? No, I did not.
Yes.
Wow.
Two lanes are rated for 50 BMG.
Wow. So make sure that you say hello to Keith when you stop by there.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Another reminder, Rally in the Woods, been canceled.
That has
been. We've been telling our listeners about that for several months now.
Several months. It was canceled due to the
wildfires. Yeah. So December 2nd, or it was supposed to be, December 9th, 10th, 11th was supposed to be. So it's canceled. So please do not show up. Contact John Phillips and the Vetlanta folks if you do want to get involved with the March effort. They're doing a Rally in the Woods 2 in March. Can we do some hiking and rock climbing? First 25 people to sign up or something like that. So.
Yeah. And then what about Veterans Day? We had a great Did you guys have a great Veterans Day? This is our first show since.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
What'd you guys do?
Anybody?
Anybody?
He worked.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
All right. Well,
hopefully you got a free coffee or something.
Yeah. We had First Data had a Veterans Day organization.
Yeah.
And they... he did his first speech.
That's right. They had me out there and give a keynote speak.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes out there. And it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, it did. It was very good.
Right.
People really liked it. It was very inspirational. He's got a great story.
Well, that leads me into what also I did this weekend.
What did you do?
I started writing my book.
Oh, really?
That's right. I took the subject matter from that speech.
Okay.
And I've spoken to a microphone for about 45 minutes straight, then had it transcribed. Now I'm going back in and filling the books.
Oh.
Filling the blanks, I should say, to write that book and tell my story. The Red Hawk Life story.
Yeah, Red Hawk Chronicles.
Yeah, Red Hawk Chronicles. Right. So stay
tuned
for that.
Does it involve swords?
Well, you'll have to just wait and see.
Okay, there you go. All right.
Well, that's our announcements for the show. Let's get into our guest here today. Let's introduce them. We have an all-star panel of veterans from the Atlanta community. First, let's say hello to Warren Tannenbaum. How are you this morning?
Not bad, thank you.
Very good. Tell us about your business.
So Ballistic Armor Defense Equipment is basically a personal protection equipment company, sells body armor to police, law-abiding citizens, security elements, anyone in need of personal protection equipment.
Very good. We're going to get into a little more deeper conversation with Warren, but let's also say hello to Todd Irvin. How are you? Good morning, Todd.
Good, doing well.
No stranger to the Business Radio X microphone.
Absolutely. It's good to be back.
Yes. And you are Director of Marketing Communications at the Scheller School of Business.
Absolutely.
At Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Right. And you've been in that role for how long now?
For a little over a year now.
Okay, a little over a year, but you're an Army veteran as well.
I am.
Yes. Helicopter pilot, I think.
Cool. Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
That is
what
cool.
What kind of helicopter?
Apaches.
Really?
Yeah, it's the baddest thing in the sky.
There you go.
Yes, yeah. It'll mess you up out
I
there.
I concur.
So, right. And he brought along a student from Georgia Tech as well, MBA, current MBA and Navy veteran. And your name is?
Andrew Harrison.
Harrison. Yep. Andrew Harrison. That's why I had to have him say it there. Yeah. Sorry about that. But thank you for joining us, Andrew.
Yeah, no problem.
Where are you from originally?
Originally from Florida.
Okay.
Just east of Orlando. That's where I grew up and then been stationed all over the country. I joined the Navy a little bit after high school and pretty much my entire adult life was in the service. Got out and went right into school.
Well, very good. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to visit a little more with Todd and Andrew later on the show, but let's turn our attention back to Warren at this time to talk a little more about your Navy career as well, right? When did you first enlist?
So I went in, my background's a little bit different. I have Canadian military experience, but when I moved back to the States in 84, I ended up joining 86, starting all over as an ensign and working my way up to 28 years of service.
Wow. You were in the Canadian Navy?
Yeah.
That's what it says right here. Yeah. So
really?
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Not much of a Navy, but yeah. I was born in the States, but raised in Canada and, finally, at age 23, I walked in a recruiting office, something I think I always wanted to do, but hesitated. And next thing I knew, that was it. I was hooked and joined.
And then you moved to the States. Did you move to Atlanta directly?
After a number of years, after I left the Canadian Navy, I went to work for IBM, joined the Armored Corps Reserves in Canada. And then in 84, decided I want to move to Atlanta. Had an association with Atlanta from working with IBM. Mm-hmm. Moved down 2 years later. Oh, and I got married. And 2 years later, said to my wife, I just missed the military and I want to join again. And she gave me the thumbs up and that was it.
And they let you join as a Canadian, you're American citizen, raised right. in Canada. So there was no issues there.
Right. I was an American citizen from the start. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. So did you, what was the regiment called that you were in?
King's Own Calgary.
King's Own Calgary.
Yeah. In fact, the Queen has reviewed the regiment a few times. You know, again, there's this kind of colonial association.
Yeah. I wish we had fun names like this.
Right. Or cool uniforms. Yeah. They have really cool uniforms.
A lot of history. Yeah. Neat uniforms.
King's Own Calgary.
Yeah.
I like it.
Neat traditions. Not much in terms of equipment, but we had great fun in the officers' mess at times. Well, no doubt about that.
All right.
And then you joined the Navy here, and you said 86?
1986. I went in as direct commission officer. Back in the day when Reagan was in power, he was envisioning a 600-ship Navy. You know, we really never got close to that. Right now, I think we're under 300. But they needed a lot of officers, especially in the supply community, and they were looking for them from the civilian community. It just so happens I did have a military background, but they were looking for people with MBAs, finance backgrounds, experience that they felt could work nicely in the supply community in the Navy.
So you got into supply, but you were in the reserve during this time, right?
Correct.
But you got mobilized a couple times also during these reserve years.
That's correct. It was in the latter part, I think, when they finally realized what the reserve capability was and how much they needed it. In the early parts, they really didn't. We were just kind of this supplemental force sitting on a shelf somewhere. I think once they realigned and recognized the value of reserves, as we saw in later years, that's where we started to get more involved with our active duty community.
Mm-hmm. And so you deployed to Afghanistan or in support of Afghanistan's mission? Or
actually, so my first deployment, believe it or not, was in Europe. I was in beautiful Rota, Spain for 2 years.
Oh, Lord.
I actually was able to bring my family over for an amazing experience. It was a startup of the war in Iraq. And even though President Bush didn't declare it at the time, I could see, you know, ships and planes flying in, you know, supplying the effort well before it was actually announced. So I did that for 2 years. And then I was deployed with the Seabees in 2009 in Iraq, Al-Anbar province, to do what they called responsible drawdown, RDD. In other words, we were getting the heck out of there and we needed to make it look very responsible.
Yes. And so account for everything and move accordingly. And that's where your lane came in as supply and now that. But then you found yourself transitioning out at some point, right? After 28 years, did they tell you to go or did you want to stay longer?
Well, as an 05, the maximum you can serve is 28 years. So two years earlier, I got my notice saying, you know, in 2 years, we're politely sending you on your way. I would have gone a few more, but that was fine. Mm-hmm. But a little different for me is that I was a reservist while at the same time having a civilian career, There wasn't really that kind of transition experience that others have gone through from active duty. I was always kind of switching in and out of military to civilian life. And so at the end of 28 years, I think I arrived at the conclusion it was time to go. Mm-hmm. Had some personal family issues as well that made it the right time to leave.
Well, not just leave the military, but you left corporate America to then go into entrepreneurship. Now, that is a transition in itself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you did that back in 2005, was it?
It was 2014, okay. About. I did. So what happened is I've been working for large corporations, some foreign corporations, and I never really liked working for large corporations. You know, decisions are made very far away from where you're at, and they don't quite understand or see the market as you might. I've worked for smaller companies, and that has its own challenges as well. Entrepreneurs at times, I call them ADHD types, are very good at getting companies started. They have a lot of energy. They have real vision. And then when the company becomes something, all of a sudden they don't know what to do with it at that point. They can't hand over the reins, that kind of thing. I describe myself as a reluctant entrepreneur because I needed to do something that kept me at home, not having to travel as much as I did before. My wife got MS about 3-4 years ago, and she needs help mainly at night. I needed to be there, not travel like I used to. So with that at my back, the fact that I had TRICARE medical insurance, I decided to take a leap of faith and start this business. I did sell body armor for 5 years before I understood the marketplace, the okay. product. And that's when I made the move. And, as much as I might have liked to sit back, collected the big check from big corporate companies, it wasn't possible. I needed to make this change.
Wow. So you made the change, and it's been a couple years now that you've been on your own. And what are some of those lessons that were valuable as you learned in the military or working for corporate America that you've kind of applied in your startup here?
Yeah, it's a great experience. First of all, working for yourself, you're the only one that's responsible for the results. It doesn't matter. Outside external influences aren't as impactful as what you do and how you overcome challenges. For me, it was being lean and mean starting out the gate. So I had to buy product up front. And my philosophy was the money I'm going to spend is going to be strictly towards things that are going to generate revenue.
Okay.
So no fancy offices, no fancy expenses, no new computers. It was just I took $10,000 and I plowed it into some surplus inventory, put it in the garage for a while, and sold it. And eventually, once I did that, I took the money that I got from that and plowed it into new inventory. Eventually found a storage facility where I could store all this stuff. But all of the money's been plowed right back into rebuilding or building the industry. Pay myself a little bit money at this time. I'm finally there. But again, lean and mean, and I will continue that philosophy as I continue to be more successful.
How did you find those first customers? Were you leaning on some of those industry contacts you had from being in this field for years, or were you just out in the wild finding people on your own?
Well, that's interesting. When I was working for a body armor company, I sold to the military and federal government. I made a lot of good contacts, but again, that would involve a significant amount of travel, and I just couldn't afford to be away at home at night from my wife. So what I decided to do is to start at the floor level, which was going to the law-abiding citizen who's interested in personal protection. Some might call them survivalist preppers, mm-hmm. others just generally concerned about their safety. You have what I call the sub-law enforcement market, armored car drivers, security right. personnel.
So more local in your target customer.
Correct.
And identifying who you wanted to supply these items to and not going the traditional route, like you said, going through government contacts and stuff.
Correct.
That's very interesting. And that's, again, scary kind of road to go down. So you started just kind of making new relationships out there locally.
Correct. And the good part about it is, these what I call one-off sales to civilians are quick and easy, if you will, as opposed to maybe a government contract that has a 5-year life cycle. You got to find that, get in at some point on that. There's contracts, very competitive bidding process, very difficult to start off making a living from that kind of sale. So to me, it was the consumer make a one sale quickly. On the other hand, it was only one sale. You know, you want to eventually build it where you can make one sale to 20, 30 guys. So that's where I started to push more towards commercial. Mm-hmm. Met some people actually through gun shows that maybe worked in an armored car company or in the security business, working a lot with bail bondsmen. And then word of mouth spread from there. And eventually I will work my way into law enforcement, and I'll look on things like Fed Biz Ops for federal bid opportunities as well.
That's fantastic. So were there any resources in the beginning to help you with your business plan or with marketing or any other resource that you leaned on in the beginning?
Absolutely. KSU, SBDC, Small Business Development Center. That was quite a help in terms of just looking at a general business plan. I think before I really started, I went to the SBA. And there were some older retired gentlemen there that looked over my business plan, sat down with some people at KSU, SBDC, and looked at their, they looked at my website concepts, my social media plan, helped to evolve that a little bit. I attended a number of their seminars.
Yeah, get involved. You know, yeah. This goes back to what Brandon says all the time on the show. Get off the couch, go get out there and meet some people and get involved. And absolutely. There are resources out there.
There's tons of resources right. out there. You just got to connect to them.
Absolutely. And I may not have covered them all, but, you know, on the other hand, I met someone at a networking meeting that offered to do, you know, the business plan and this and that. And they were talking, you know, $1,000 out the gate and then continuing dollars. Again, everything I do is to put money into the things that generate revenue. So it has to be very direct in that regard. But there are so many free resources out there that you don't have to pay for these kinds of services. And I encourage people to look for them.
I agree. Matter of fact, I do not like spending money. so it bothers me when people say, you know, I could do X for you and this will cost X. It's like, I'm pretty sure I can get it for free.
Right. Yeah,
I just got to Google it a little bit and something will pop up.
Yes.
So I encourage all veterans, if you've got something, if it's a legal counsel or it's you know, about drawing up articles of incorporation or organization, all those things, you can do almost all that stuff for free.
Yeah. You're right.
And so you just got to find that program or that resource that'll do it for you as a veteran.
Right.
So do it.
Mm-hmm. If those listeners just joining us, we're talking with Warren Tannenbaum. He's owner of Ballistic Armor Defense and Equipment, located right here in Roswell, Georgia. You know, so what's next for you in 2017? How are you going to kind of grow, market, expand your business?
Well, I've thought a little bit about what I've been doing this past year, some of the things that work well, some things that don't. And my plan is to double my sales. I have to find new channels. I have to be better at social media. I'm hoping the leads that I've generated and the contacts I've made will help to improve the business. But got to always be thinking, you know, certainly as a small businessman, I'm not at the top of the mountain yet. And even if I were, I need to be looking over my shoulder, asking, you know, who's coming after me?
Right.
What do I need to be doing different or better? So I'm going to go back to SBDC, talk to them about my business plan for this year. I'm going to try to do things smarter. I'm going to cut out some things that maybe I haven't sold, you know, under the equipment aspect, like first aid gear. That's not a big seller. It takes up a lot of table space. So I have to revamp. I'm adding new product lines, found new suppliers. So trying to bring good products at fair prices to the market.
What's trending out there these days? What are people wanting?
So for the law-abiding citizen, they may never wear body armor. I think it's the kind of thing they want to keep with their guns and, you know, by their bedside kind of thing. So typically two sets of plates, armor plates, that are, you know, basically rifle protection plates with a carrier. That's what civilians like.
It's just a basic body armor plate carrier that you need. And a civilian may feel more at home or more secure if the zombie apocalypse begins.
Yes, right. Of course.
They can wear that.
Of course.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I'm there to fill a need. It's like an insurance policy, actually. Hopefully, they'll never need it.
Right.
I don't ask them how it felt, how it wore today, because I'm hoping they never have to wear it or experience being shot.
I know of a community of people you can start selling body armor to, and I don't know if you're already doing it, but the CrossFit community.
Yeah.
They like to work out with their chest plates and do pull-ups and push-ups and runs all the time.
Yeah.
And I go to a CrossFit gym here in Alpharetta, and three or four of the guys are not military, and they have some really high-speed vests that they wear to run in.
Yeah. You know what? So, CrossFit people are questionable.
That's true. Why would you put yourself through all that torture?
You know, it's like if anything ever occurs, they're the first ones to get rounded up.
Right. Well, strong people are harder harder to kill, Brandon. Yeah, so to be as strong as possible, you'll be harder to kill. So, it looks like you put your pivot in your business. You're continually to evolve and stay fluid with your business plan. I bet your business plan 5 years ago when you started doesn't look like your business plan today, and so on. So that's good. That's what we're hearing. And we encourage other entrepreneurs, not just veterans, but to listen to the market as well.
Yeah, it has to be a dynamic document. You can never sit still, can never say, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. You always got to question every minute what it is you're doing and how you can do it better and smarter. Mm-hmm. And I have my challenges. I've had my successes, but, you know, I want to keep working at it.
Right. Well, they have everything over there from custom fitted, concealable tactical plate carriers to level 3, level 4, helmets, accessories. If listeners want to find out more or learn it and see more about your products, what's the best way?
BallisticArmorDefense.com. All the products are listed there. We're also on Facebook and can always give us a call.
That's right. And say you heard it from Brandon and Ryan at Veterans Connect Radio, and Warren will say, great.
And I'll help you out.
Yeah, right. That's good. We encourage that.
Yeah, offer discounts to military law enforcement personnel.
Fantastic.
Recognition of their service.
Outstanding, for sure. So we're going to come back to Warren a little bit later in the program, and when we get to our roundtable segment about Atlanta and the veterans community. So stick around as we reintroduce back to the microphone, Todd Irvin. Did you learn anything in that last segment, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely. I sure did. A lot of stuff about what to do, what to buy for a zombie apocalypse.
Do you think you need some armor?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. So, we visited just briefly at the beginning, talking about your military experience, and then and now here at the Scheller School of Business. But talk to us a little bit about that time in between when you got out in 2000. Or was it 1995?
In 2000, I got out.
2000. That's 2000. Right. 95 to 2000, and then talk about that era for you.
Yeah. So when I got out, took a little bit of a route where I worked with an executive recruiter, Cameron Brooks. They recruit junior military officers when they're getting out. So made the transition for me a little bit easier. They gave me a lot of that coaching that I needed.
They were looking for guys like you.
They absolutely were. Yeah, and they gave you that coaching, you know, and how to interview and how to take your military experience and turn that into things that are meaningful for the corporate world, because they, you know, we have a lot of jargon in the military that doesn't necessarily translate. But I got lucky enough, and they have several companies that they work with that specifically recruit junior military officers and NCOs to come out and specifically looking for that leadership and looking to put them in leadership positions. So I went to work for number four wireless carrier, Nextel, was there as a business analyst for a couple of years, and then transitioned over to the marketing side of the world. So that's how I kind of got to where I am now from a marketing perspective. So had the opportunity to do some really fun things. I worked in sports marketing for a while. Was there when Nextel took over the NASCAR sponsorship.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday was the last race of the Nextel and now Sprint Cup Series. So be transitioning to something else. But really had a really great opportunities. And I think the military was the foundation for that in being able to transition to the civilian world, but more from a leadership perspective, which is what civilian employers are looking for.
And you're directly relating your military experience into your success today and your professional career.
Yeah, so you're an Apache helicopter, right?
Right.
And so how does the helicopter pilot become the marketing and communications director? Like, you know, how do those things connect?
Absolutely. So, you know, my undergraduate was actually in marketing from East Carolina University.
Got it.
So I already knew that at some point in my life, I wanted to work in marketing, whether I was going to do a 20-year military career or get out after 5 like I did. But I also was able to get my MBA while I was still on active duty.
Okay.
So, it made that transition into the marketing world a little bit easier for me. But I still had to do some convincing, for the civilian world. So my path was to come into the world as a business analyst, which allowed me to work across the entire company.
Okay.
It was more of a finance role that I was in. But what I did was I was able to work very closely with the marketing team and the marketing organization. And then when the time was right, the right job came available, I was able to make that transition into marketing much easier.
All right. So what you're telling me is you played a little bit of a strategic game, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's good to know. That's something to think about, right?
Things like a pilot.
Yeah. Right? Things like a pilot. Okay. Yeah.
Very strategically.
You know, there's a valuable learning point there. You got to know where you want to be, right? And then do some backwards planning.
Absolutely.
And I think that veterans got that down pat, don't we? In backwards planning?
Well, some of the time, right. Okay. Yeah. You can certainly tell when someone's not planning, someone else is not planning.
That's
you can point
true.
That
true.
Out, yeah. But do some self-reflecting as well. And then you found yourself in this role here for the last year at Scheller School of Business at Georgia Tech. What do you like about this position?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that attracted me to Scheller College of Business is I've never worked in higher ed. I'd been an adjunct professor, but never really been immersed in it. But one of the things that really drew me was that ability to help other people achieve their goal, whether it's an undergraduate or their master's degree. And, you know, now here at Scheller, one of the things that's is very much at the forefront of what we do is recruiting people who are transitioning out of the military.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. And we know there's a huge military drawdown right now.
Yep.
So there are a great wealth of people out there who, you know, maybe didn't have the opportunity to get their undergraduate or master's degree while they were in just because of the op tempo these days. So we've got an opportunity to really bring those people into the fold, and whether they're coming for a full-time MBA or coming to get their undergraduate degree, some of the veterans that I've talked to that we've got within Scheller, one of the biggest things that they really appreciate is our career services perspective. You know, I've talked to veterans who are now working for major consulting firms who, when they showed up there, had never even heard of consulting.
Yeah, they didn't know that was like a career they could even go into.
Yeah.
You know, they really didn't know what that was. Having that ability to really kind of, you know, be there in a place where it's giving back to, you know, civilians as well as veterans, but specifically focusing on the veterans like we are now, and being able to work with some of those students firsthand has been really rewarding.
So would you say it's a good time to be a veteran if you're trying to get into Georgia Tech?
Oh, it absolutely is. Absolutely. Especially with the post 9/11 GI Bill.
Got it.
It's absolutely a great time. Georgia Tech and Scheller College of Business being kind of the most expensive school you can go to as a state supported school is really kind of, it basically maxes out what you can do with your post 9/11
Well, that's great.
Bill.
It's a great school.
Absolutely. Yeah. You go to a top, you know, top five, top six research institute in the world, you know, on that GI Bill.
Now, so I'm not a real big fan of programming, right? Is that all that Georgia Tech has to offer? Or what are some of the things that Georgia Tech offers besides the nerd stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a little known fact that the number two major at Georgia Tech is business.
Oh, really?
Actually right behind engineering, obviously. Okay. That's what they're there for. But one of the things that's unique and one of the things that's attractive to a lot of veterans is that veterans, you know, those of us coming out of the military, we're already, you know, connected to technology. We know how to use technology.
Oh, yeah.
We're typically comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
So at Georgia Tech, what differentiates us from other business schools is that, you know, we're already naturally integrated into technology just being Georgia Tech. And when you think about business these days, it doesn't matter what aspect of business you're going into. Mm-hmm. You have to have that technology component. You don't have to be a techie,
right?
But you have to have some level of tech savvy, whether it's marketing, finance, doesn't matter what it is. That's just the way of the world these days.
Yeah. So even if, you know, I never want to know what Java is, sort of thing.
Right. Cup of coffee.
Yeah. Cup of coffee. Exactly. But you go over to Georgia Tech, at least you've kind of integrated your, in your business degree, you've integrated technology. So I'm the first to know about it as a MBA grad or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so when I get to this company, whatever company it is, it could be some big lumbering giant or a small startup, you'll be able to leverage some of that stuff that you learned at Georgia Tech, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that veterans are really great at, is we can adapt to anything that in any environment that anybody puts us in. And we're also very good at working with people from different walks of life. And Georgia Tech really does that. You've got the technical side. So you'll work on projects as a student there with the engineering team, with the computer, the College of Computing team. And, you know, that sort of that aspect, when you actually get your job in corporate America, you're going to be working with people of that walk of life.
Really?
And
yeah,
you need to know how to communicate, and you need to know how to at least talk their language to be successful.
And I imagine that Georgia Tech's pretty multicultural school, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's something that veterans do have down pat, do we not?
We can
integrate and work with anybody from any place.
That's right. For sure. And so your job as the marketing guy is to go out there and find, because just as you mentioned, some students didn't even know consulting was a career they could go into. Some of people out there maybe transitioning out don't know what benefit Scheller College of Business can offer them and how awesome it would be to go there. So how are you finding and letting these students, potential students, know of the opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the main roles of my job is to really come up with the brand positioning for Scheller College of Business. So, being able to communicate that in a manner that consumers understand. Because one of the things that we do understand is that, yes, we are a technology institute. We're based in engineering. So, you know, your average business school student like me, we don't want to scare them off either. And, you know, have them coming in thinking they're going to have to know a bunch of equations and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What we do is part of my job is to really make sure that they understand that this is how we're going to prepare you for that next step in your career.
Right.
And that's whether you want to go on and be an entrepreneur or whether you want to go work in corporate America. You're going to have these skills these days and really understand that technology component and how that transitions into whether it's a B to consumer or a B to B type of a transaction that you're going to be responsible for when you finally graduate.
Hmm. That's awesome. And yeah. So, lots of opportunities down there. You know, the GI Bill is out there for all veterans to use. Yep. And if you're in Atlanta and you're looking to take your game to the next level, it sounds like the Scheller College of Business is the place to start.
Yeah.
And so if a veteran wanted more information, where's a good place to kind of begin the journey?
Absolutely. They can go to scheller.gatech.edu.
And Scheller is S-C-H-E-L-L?
S-C-H-E-L-L-E-R.
E-R.
E-R.
Scheller.
All right. And very good. And we're going to now talk to a gentleman who did make this journey, right?
Oh,
who
really?
Did transition out.
Yeah, that
welcome,
I did.
Yeah. Welcome back, Andrew Harrison. And your class of 2017 of the College of Business there at Georgia Tech, right?
I'll be graduating in May.
What's your major?
Getting my MBA right now, it looks like it's going to end up being in operations.
Okay.
The way that we do concentration is kind of fluid. It just depends on your class load and what you take. It's a tie between operations and organizational behavior right now.
Mm-hmm. Huh. For you?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And you were in the Navy.
Yep.
As a nuclear guy. Tell us about that.
Yeah. All right. So I joined in 2005. I lived in Central Florida. I tried the college thing. It wasn't working out, mostly because run out of money. And I was going to school for computer science, and I also do not like programming, it turns out. So, trying to get a computer science degree when you're not a fan of programming, that'll make you want to go go shoot some guns.
You're right.
So, started looking at options. Took the ASVAB, qualified for whatever job I wanted to take. So, started looking around, and the Navy seemed like the best option. I wanted something that was more technology-oriented. So,
nuclear electronics technician is pretty pretty involved there.
The Navy nuke program is it's a tough one to get into.
Yeah.
So went into that, spent about 2 years in training, going just learning all the science behind the job. And then they send you out to a ship. You can either go to aircraft carrier to submarines. I chose submarines.
How was that?
That was hard.
Was it?
Yeah.
Submarine life was easy.
It's a difficult thing to describe. I mean, until you live it, you can't really know what it's like. And I think that's a problem that all veterans run into when they're trying to describe serving to people who haven't been through that thing.
Yeah.
Every branch is different. They got their own challenges that makes them.
But submarines are a little more involved than people may think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the little things you take for granted that you don't think about, like not seeing the sun for months at a time.
Yeah, that's gotta be weird.
Wow.
No fresh air. All those little things that you just you don't think about.
Did you ever involved in a crazy Ivan?
No.
So what's a crazy Ivan?
Crazy Ivan, you see the Hunt for Red October?
Uh-uh.
No, you go back and see that. No,
submarine movies are terrible.
Okay.
So, but that is, because you're the first guy that we've had in the Navy who spent some time with a submarine. This is fascinating. I don't even know too many personally that submariners
are. It's a small community.
Is it?
Even within the Navy, we're fairly isolated. On most bases, your submarine piers are totally separate from all your surface ships.
Mm-hmm.
We're always on this one little pier that's way off to the side of the base, and we got our own gym, and we're kept separate. I was stationed in Norfolk, Groton, Connecticut, and Pearl Harbor, and in all of them, we were away from everybody.
So gone really? Most of the time.
So
that must have been a difficult life, a challenging, adventurous, you know, learned a lot. But, you know, at some point, I guess you found yourself wanting more, looking for transition.
Yeah. So, like I said, being on a submarine, it's not for everybody. It's tough. And from the beginning, my plan was to get in, be able to use the benefits. I looked at the Navy as kind of a means to an end.
Yeah.
The education.
You stayed in for a while, though, right?
I did. As a nuke, minimum enlistment is 6 years.
Oh.
And then I figured if I'm doing this sea tour, going through all that, I'm going to go do the shore tour and get the easy part as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured transitioning from shore would be a lot easier than doing it from a boat out of Hawaii.
Talk about strategic thinking, yeah, right? Kidding, this guy's got it planned out, too.
This is chess, not checkers, right?
Yeah. Right. Turns out that job hunting from Hawaii is pretty tough.
Yeah.
That was your last duty station, Hawaii. And were you thinking about staying there, or were going to find your way back to America, or back to the States?
Yeah, there's not that good job opportunities out there. I mean, I miss Hawaii every day.
Sure.
That place is wonderful. It's not for everybody. People get island sick. They don't like not being able to drive more than 30 miles before they hit water. But islands, they've got everything I want.
Right.
Interesting. But it's just too expensive.
So, so you started opening up kind of your opportunities to elsewhere. And how did you find yourself coming across the Scheller College of Business here at Georgia Tech?
Well, so after the ship in Pearl and I decided to do my shore duty, I ended up recruiting out of New Orleans.
Okay.
So I did that for 3 years, and that's what really got me thinking about an MBA, because the recruiting is pretty HR oriented. And so they have educational people come in to help with transition. They talk about MBAs and stuff. So that got me thinking about it. But the people who are pushing it the hardest, they're your for-profit schools who I don't trust. So I knew I wasn't going to go that route. And once I decided to get out, I started looking for a job, and you realize then that that's really where the rubber meets the road, and you got to start figuring out who really wants to hire veterans, what really carries over to the civilian world. And it's a lot tougher than some people realize.
Even with the pedigree that you came from, being a nuclear technician, I mean, that would seem like that would open up a world of good job opportunities for you across America.
Or maybe it was too niche-y. Tell us.
It was the niche. I didn't want to get stuck doing the exact same thing for the rest of my life.
Okay.
And that's what would happen. There are jobs in nuclear power. And they're good paying jobs if you stick with it. But you're just going to do that forever.
Okay. You wanted something different. You wanted to change. You wanted a new chapter.
I'm always looking to just keep learning new stuff, to keep growing, to keep evolving. And if you're just doing the same job for 30 years, you can get a paycheck, but you're going to stagnate.
Yeah, of course. Is it really about a paycheck, you know?
And that's not what it was for me. So I was looking at other options, and then I decided to go back to school to get an MBA.
So what did Todd do to convince you
The funny
Georgia
thing
Tech.
Is... For me, it was all my own research that led me to it. I was looking at the ranks of the MBA schools. I just went down the list, and I was looking at what schools are state schools, so the GI Bill would cover it.
Okay.
Then it was which states will give me in-state tuition.
Okay.
And it turns out that just when you start narrowing down the list that way, Georgia Tech's the best.
Is that right? They quickly separated themselves from the search criteria that way.
Georgia Tech's a very competitive school. It's really highly ranked. And most of the schools that are above it, they're all private schools. You got, the ones everybody knows, your Harvard, your Stanford,
Ivy League schools, right?
Yeah, the Ivy League stuff. But you're going to pay $60,000 a year to go there.
That's
the GI Bill is only going to pay the 15 grand or whatever for
18,
tuition.
15,
And so you're just stuck with the difference. And then a lot of the state schools that are comparable, they're in the north, and I hate snow. So I'm from Florida. I want to stay in the south. And when it's in the south, Georgia Tech's, they're the best.
There you go.
Wow. Well, I mean, maybe you got your work, you're fine. You don't have to really do much. Just hang
out. Absolutely. I'm just going to go home now.
Yeah, of course.
I paid him well enough, apparently.
Yeah. You don't need
that is good.
To.
Yeah. And then once I started actually touring the campuses, then there wasn't even a question.
Yeah, Georgia Tech is very pretty.
Right.
Not only was it how pretty it was, but just the atmosphere of it. Georgia Tech's, my class only has 60 people in it. Whereas comparable business schools, they'll have 400 or so.
So, they kind of go after folks who want to be there.
Yeah, we hear all these stories, these horror stories from other schools that are bigger, where the competition between students is insane for these high-end jobs. But at this school, we're so small, there's so few of us that we're not fighting each other for the jobs. We'll help each other. We'll prep each other for interviews, even if we're going for the same thing.
Any sense of how many other veterans are in your class? Do you any idea? Have you connected with any of them?
Yeah, we have our own veterans organization.
That's
we have
great.
So often we're kind of like the bulldog organization of the school. Like when there's something that needs to get done, it gets thrown to the veterans organization because
that's kinda cool.
We're not scared to go tell people when they need to do something.
Oh, okay.
So you sound like
you're guys a bit of the mob, Georgia Tech mob over there.
Strong arm.
Yeah,
that's kind of the way that it's perceived, and at least among ourselves.
Well, that's good. And if things are working out for you, according to here, you're going to have a job already lined up after graduation at Bank of America.
Yeah. So when we started doing our internship hunts, you really start trying to figure out which companies mean it when they say they have a veteran program. Every big company out there says they try to hire veterans. Right. They all want that PR. But when you really start going and interviewing, you start realizing that most of them, they're just hiring 5-10% of their workforce as veterans by chance.
And then putting that on a piece of paper and doing a little PSA about it. And then all of a sudden, they, you know.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we love to hire veterans. Yeah, you just
have them in your organization. Right.
Correct.
Yeah, of course. But then you find the ones that really do. They're somewhere just military culture fits into their cororporate culture and they really go after
them. And the Bank of America.
Bank of America is a great one. Amazon's a great one. Obviously, USAA. Mm.
So real quick. So you're on a ship. Now you're getting your MBA. And so my brain thinks, all right, Navy guy, then he's a tech guy, you know, MBA, whether or not you're a tech guy or not. And now you're working for Bank of America. How do you connect those dots?
Well, yeah. I mean, my undergrad degree is in nuclear engineering technology. Now I'm getting an MBA. Okay. And then, I'm going to go work at Bank of America as an assistant vice president in global operations and technology.
Wow. So you
There's
guys are...
not a whole lot of connection between those right? things.
But what excites you about this new position?
Because it's global in the title.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm going to be doing yet. I mean, they haven't even told me.
That's great.
What group within the bank I'm going to be working
but you're
in?
You're just
I won't
excited.
Know.
And you're ready to go full force. Be the bulldog.
That's a veteran, right? Yeah. It's like, hey, you know,
I know it's something new.
Into the wind.
And my internship was great. I loved Charlotte. The culture at the bank was great. So I'm looking forward to going back. And wherever they put me, I know. It's going to be something that's a challenge. It's going to be something I've never done before. And
you're going to go to Charlotte. Do you know anybody in Charlotte?
Nope.
Yeah. So you're going to make new friends, everyone there in Charlotte.
And that's the other thing, as a veteran, going somewhere new, that doesn't intimidate me. I didn't know anybody in Atlanta when I came here either.
Right.
I didn't know anybody in New Orleans. I didn't know anybody in Pearl Harbor. That's just normal for me.
Wow.
I think it goes back to what Todd said earlier.
Yeah.
You can adapt to wherever you may be finding yourself in a path in life. So, but it sounds like you've had a plan all along. You continue to evolve. You've got a long way to go yet, but sounds like you are on the right path for you.
I've always tried to do is, as you make decisions, just try to pick the one that keeps the most doors open. And don't burn bridges if you don't have to. Mm-hmm. And then just try to take the path that gives you the most diversity so that you can... make those choices you get there. Keep a fluid plan. You want goals, but you don't want to make them so strict that you pigeonhole yourself into one single path.
That's a good advice for sure. And we hear that from time to time here in the studio as well. So Andrew Harrison is MBA graduate or will be a graduate 2017 for the Scheller College of Business at Georgia Tech and then going to work there. So there's one avenue. You get out, get a job, go to school, get a job. Or you, Warren, you know, get out, start a business, get a job, then start a business.
Yep.
Todd, you know, he gets out and he continues to evolve, you know, one day.
In corporate America, then, you know, find himself in education, right?
So, and that's what we say. You have three choices. You get out, go to school, start a job, or go to your mom's couch.
That's
true. And that third option is just not an option anymore.
Not an option.
So, right.
Yeah, because the couch is ugly.
But, here in the final segment, let's open up the round table. Talk about Atlanta. You know, again, what are we doing here? What are we doing right as a community? You know, as we've beginning to do our 19th episode of Veterans Connect Radio, we've had everyone in here come in and talk about Atlanta's doing good. But yet, if you look at it from a national perspective, we're not. So we feel like maybe because we're only inside this community that we're doing good. But I do believe we're doing good. Warren, don't you think that we're doing well as a veteran community?
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge veteran community, and I meet folks all the time. You know, just somehow you don't have to say it, but you can tell. It's the handshake, it's the look, it's the whatever chatter that goes on, and you can always reach out and touch a veteran. I came to Atlanta in '84, and it was a growing white collar. You know, you want a job, you got it. The sky's the limit, kind of thing. And it's evolved and changed. It's a more mature city. It's struggled in the last recession. But I believe it still has character and it's got good people here and we're going to continue to get better.
Definitely. You know, Warren in his off time likes to go shooting. He also likes to go boating. Yeah. And you're giving back to the community all along the way.
Trying to.
That's good. That's good. And Atlanta's proud to have you here. And certainly, are you a member of any veteran organizations at all? Veteran business owners? Is there a business owner group or anything that you can lean on to help with some business activity?
Well, you know, I'll go to like Semper Fi Bar and Grill has the...
Yeah, we've been out there.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, we went out there, met with other
veterans.
Matter
of fact, that's where we met him.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you know, you go and you try to find business opportunities, but I think I bought more of the services of the people in the group than I got leads. But that's okay, because, you know, I'm helping them. They're associated with veterans groups, and they had services that I wanted.
Yeah.
And it'll, you know, what goes around comes around. I'm a big believer in that.
Definitely. Yeah. So again, Warren Tannenbaum with Ballistic Armor and Defense and Equipment. You can go to his website, ballisticarmordefense.com, for more information, or you can email him directly, warren@ballisticarmordefense.com.
That's it.
Thank you so much, Warren, for joining us here today. We look forward to more great things from you in 2017, and wish you much success.
Thank you.
Very
appreciate
good.
It.
Very good. And Todd, are you a member of any, what do you like to do here in Atlanta to kind of give back or get involved even further?
Yeah, well, you know, outside of Scheller College and what we do to recruit veterans and help veterans transition, you know, for me, it's mainly just connecting with veterans that I know from the neighborhood or different neighborhood or organizations that I'm mm-hmm. a member of, and really connecting more on a one-on-one basis, more so than going out and joining any specific group.
Right. So more of a community organization, yeah. And you find the veterans within those larger groups.
That's really
that's a great way to do it. You know, Warren is a member of the National Advisory Committee. I should say Warren Todd, Committee of American Stroke Association.
Yes, absolutely.
So talk to us about that. Why is that important to you?
Yeah, you know, it's so many people in my family, mainly my extended family, have been affected by stroke. So when I was invited to be on that National Advisory Committee, something, you know, that's kind of inherent to me, and I think most veterans, is giving back.
Yes.
So that was a way for me to volunteer my services as a marketer to help the American Stroke Association bring forth kind of the new direction they're taking with their marketing efforts to make people more aware of stroke and what you need to do to survive a stroke and that sort of thing. So
well, that's, I tell you're passionate about that. We say that also. Get involved.
Absolutely. Give back. I mean, being a veteran is good and such, but and being involved in veteran initiatives is also good. But take some of those things that you've learned and some of those things that you're good at and give back to your community, right?
Absolutely.
And doing things for, you know, his cause is stroke awareness and mm-hmm. stroke prevention, so and identification, right?
Right, it's, absolutely.
But you gotta do more than just be a veteran, right?
Yeah.
You gotta get out there and affect your community in a positive way.
Right, community. You served your country, now serve your community.
Now serve your community.
And a veteran is just one of your community. There's so many other neighborhoods, like you mentioned, businesses, associates that we come in contact all the time. And from your perspective, a guy who is got this, you know, hand on the pulse of Atlanta, the heartbeat of Atlanta, the veteran community, we're doing okay, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, I think we are. And, you know, I actually think we've got more of a story to tell than what we're actually doing. You know, we actually partnered with the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce last year and went to South by Southwest and you know, really kind of the goal behind that was to recruit more millennials to move to Atlanta as a
overall
place to live, work, play, and learn. And when you think about that, there's no better group of millennials out there than people that are young people who are transitioning out of the military now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Gen X, so I'm a little beyond that, but but we've got a great story here. I mean, we're a global city. We've got an airport that you can go pretty much direct anywhere in the world.
That's right.
So if you want to work internationally, you can do that from Atlanta.
Yep.
We've got major Fortune 500 corporations here, major universities, whether it's Georgia Tech or Georgia State or so on. So it's really a great place. And I think that, you know, we're kind of a best kept secret.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if, you know, there's something that we can all do as veterans is, hey, if we know people that are transitioning, let them know about Atlanta.
Oh,
let
yeah.
them know about the
there
job opportunities
yeah.
from UPS to Chick-fil-A to Delta.
Coca-Cola's here.
Depot, list is
Coca-Cola.
On and on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just unimaginable. But yeah, I think we've got a little bit more of a story that we can tell.
Cool. Yeah,
definitely.
I like that.
Well, if somebody wanted to contact you or get more information, what's the best way?
Yeah, you can actually contact me at todd.ervin. That's todd.ervin at Scheller, Scheller.gatech. edu.
Sounds good to me. We'll have that posted up on our website, veteransconnectradio.com, later, and you can connect with Todd there. So thank you so much for coming back and being a guest here today. And do come back again in 2017. Keep us updated and love to, you know, see some more good things happening down there, the Scheller College of Business on the campus of Georgia Tech. Thank you
Absolutely.
So much.
Appreciate it.
All right, Andrew. And so you're looking forward to graduating and then going on to work in Charlotte.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Good. And so some things that you first did when you came to Atlanta to kind of get involved, what were some places you went?
Well, I mean, most of my involvement around Atlanta has been stuff done through the school and through
okay.
the veterans organization.
And they have some good
class.
Resources there.
Yeah. Scheller makes a big point of community service. So
mm-hmm. Really?
We just had a Scheller Day of Service, which is just a day dedicated to community service.
That's
they
great.
Pick different things. We have a student government who goes through trying to consolidate everybody's desires and find events that we want to do. And there's volunteer events on a regular basis. So yeah, just trying to stay involved.
And right, but you could have easily sat at home, not did anything, studied your books, not got involved. Yeah,
grad school's pretty intense, and Georgia Tech is not an easy school.
So
regularly on these lists, that part of trying to be a more competitive business school and trying to climb those lists is you got to be perceived as being the tougher school. Yeah. And with Georgia Tech trying to compete to get higher on those lists, our curriculum, it's a tough one.
Pretty stringent, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Georgia Tech's got a reputation they want to maintain.
Yeah, of course.
We're not all about the programming and stuff that you were talking about earlier, but we do want to make sure that all of our people understand technology and understand basic programming. So if you are put in a position where you may not be doing the programming, but you're managing programmers, you still got to know
something. At least the terminology, right?
You got to understand the language.
That's one thing that does set Tech apart is that they do have a curriculum that teaches you IT management at a higher level than any other business school I know of.
Wow.
Well, that's fantastic. I know you're on the right path to success, and we wish you profitable and prosperous 2017.
Yeah, you got a LinkedIn? You got a LinkedIn that we can connect to you
on? I do. It's just my name, Andrew.Harazin.
Harazin, that's H-A-R-A-Z-I-N.
All right.
Harazin. Are you going back to Orlando for Thanksgiving?
No, I'm just staying here for Thanksgiving.
Staying in Atlanta for Thanksgiving?
I'll be going to Florida in December.
Okay.
My sister is graduating college.
So, oh, good. Get to be back there for that.
Congratulations. Yeah. Well, thank you both, all you gentlemen, all being a guest in here today. That's about to close here of episode 19 of Veterans Connect Radio. Before we do close, let's remind our listeners, Thanksgiving is this later this week. And we want to think about those men and women downrange who will not be going home for Thanksgiving. And so we think about them as they're deployed out there on the front lines of freedom, that we're not forgetting about them. And then keep them in your thoughts and your prayers as you're around with family and loved ones eating your turkey and dressing. Our next episode will be December 5th back here on the microphone. Going to be having a good episode there. We're going to have the Executive Vice President for First Data, Dan Sharon, is going to be in here, share his thoughts. And he's a military veteran himself, so we look forward to that. And Turkey Day, I know, is a special day for you, Brandon, because you were once deployed and you captured a turkey yourself and raised them, didn't you? Tell us that before we leave.
Okay, right.
Turkey named George.
All right, this is an Army story. We don't usually tell those here. It's all about moving forward, right?
Yes.
Anyway, so this was my last deployment, and Thanksgiving was coming around, and I happened to see a turkey, like a wild turkey, in a small marketplace, and this was in the middle of Helmand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, how much is that? And we bartered. I snatched up my turkey, and then I took him back to the cop or the small base that we were on. And then I fed him for about a week.
What'd you feed him?
I fed him MRE bits because that's about all we had. And there's some stuffing in there. So I gave him some stuffing. I named him George.
Yeah, nice.
And so I thought it'd be a good idea and a good opportunity to bring several elements together. And the Afghan army we were working with said they'd love to cook up the turkey for us. So we kind of scrounged around from some other sides. And then we sat on top of a balcony in this mansion that we had taken over. And all the kind of the area commanders were there from the police and the local army and then our military, the Marine Corps, and then I and my team was there. So we had this kind of makeshift Thanksgiving that the Afghans helped cook us up. And, and George sacrificed his life for us.
Oh, that's so. Okay. It's a wonderful story. It warms my heart. And we know that, that story is
one you that only can be forget. In the military.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that sounds awesome. So thank you for sharing. And thank you to all of our guests here today. Let's remind our listeners about our next episode again, December 5th. And thank you to everyone for tuning in today. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We'll see you next time on Veterans Connect Radio.